The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. Welcome to Adventures in Randland. I'm Andy.
And I'm Wendy.
And today, we'll be discussing chapters 31 to 34 of The Eye of the World. Wendy, you only got four chapters this week.
And there's a lot of walking.
There is a lot of walking. What was that? Have you ever seen, I think it was Clerks. Maybe Clerks 2. There was one of the Smith movies where they were talking about the Hobbit movies. And that's how he described those movies. It's just like, here's the first one. He's walking this to the right. And then here's the second one walking to the left. It's like, yeah, no, that's pretty much it. So, but yeah, that's just what that made me think of. So we left off on the last episode with, we had Matt and Rand headed towards Camlann from Whitebridge. And they had just escaped the Fade that, Tom took on. Tom sacrificed himself for the Fade, or for them to the Fade. Perrin and Egwene are in the custody of the White Cloaks because Perrin killed two of them in response for them killing his wolf friend Hopper. And Nynaeve is with Moraine and Lan searching for the rest of the group.
Right.
Not that most of that matters this week because we only follow Matt and Rand this week.
Oh.
Yeah, kind of sad. It's like, why? I like having a little bit of each of them in our readings. It's kind of sad that it's just the one group this time, in my opinion. But that's okay.
I think you kind of needed it for this. I think if you went back and forth, you'd kind of lose the tension that it was trying to build up and portray.
I don't disagree. I do think that now we have to kind of move each of their stories along towards their ending. And in order to do that, right, you have to actually spend time with each of the groups. So,
yeah, exactly.
I agree. Cool. Good.
Exactly.
So we're going to start on chapter 31 titled Play for Your Supper. So Rand and Matt, they're traveling the Camlann Road and they're hiding from patrolling horsemen. And they're sleeping on the ground off the road. You know, they're roughing it. And they're eating what they can find or they can beg for. I mean, they're not in a good place.
No, they're not.
Rand suggests to Matt that they can sell his dagger. And with that money, they can stay like kings, basically. They can stay wherever they want to. And Matt says, well, we can sell your sword. And Rand's like, well, no, we can't. My dad gave me the sword. Matt's like, well, I don't want to sell the dagger either. Besides, who are we going to sell it to? There's just farmers out here. And, you know, they have their little argument. Matt's becoming increasingly hostile, I think, is a good word for him. But
he also brought up a really good point. He's like, yeah, who's going to believe that we didn't steal this?
That's true.
He's like,
look at us, look at it, and tell me how we're going to get away with
doing this. So I don't think that he was completely like taken in by this war. He was also being like, there, he's like, dude, look around, look at the room and please tell me how we're going to get away with this.
Very true. He just wasn't overly pleasant in the process of this.
No, he wasn't, but it did make Rand be like, oh yeah, you're kind of right, I guess.
Exactly. Good to know, too, that even with their little spats, their disagreements, they stick together. They aren't like, okay, well, fine, if you're that way, I'm going to go off on my own. I hate it when characters do that in books. It's like, you don't need that to advance a storyline very often. So,
you mean how people do in real life?
Yes, I think that's probably true. So, again, not to bring up Harry Potter, but it makes me think of Ron in the last book. So,
yes.
All right. So along the way, they occasionally get a meal and a bed at farms in exchange for work, but not all the farmers they work for are honest. They have dogs set on them. They're roughing it. They're not in a great place. So,
yeah.
Eventually, they end up at the Grinwell farm, and they do work for Master Grinwell, even though he has 9 kids and doesn't really need the help. But, you know, he's a nice guy, so he lets him work and feeds him. And his eldest daughter, Elsie, flirts with Rand, makes Rand a little uncomfortable. Mom's paying attention. Dad's paying attention. Elsie's really paying attention. So I thought the whole Grinwell Farm section of this chapter, I thought that was great. I loved it. So yeah, 100%.
Best part of it.
100% agree. So after dinner, Matt juggles for the family and Ram plays the flute, and they play pretty much all night. Master Grinwell makes a suggestion that they could probably take their act to ends and have them feed them and give them a bed to sleep in and all of that. So kind of surprised they didn't have that idea already, since, you know, that's kind of what Tom does, and they hung out with Tom for a while, but yeah.
But the thing is they didn't think that they were that good.
That's true. That's true.
Matt, like, you know, Matt could only do some juggling and Rand could do, you know, some, you know, play some music, but he didn't think that he was that good. And it wasn't until that they were really into it. And it wasn't until, I think, the farmer, his wife, Mistress Grinwell, kind of like said, no, you could really do this and really make money and, you know, leave early.
Right. How about, Elsie, how about you sleep in my room and, oh, it's great. Elsie comes back randomly in one of the later books, like way down the line, for just a minute, just like the smallest of mentions, which is kind of funny. So, it isn't a positive mention. So, it's not negative. She doesn't die or anything. But if I remember right, it's something along the lines of, well, there's that lazy girl, Elsie. I don't think she's going to make it. So, but.
Oh.
All right.
Are you giving me a spoiler?
I guess to a degree that is a spoiler, but it doesn't really tell you anything. It didn't spoil anything. Nothing that matters anyway. So the next day, they walk all day. They arrive at dusk in a village called Arion. The innkeeper gives them a room and a meal in exchange for entertaining his guests. So they realize that Mistress Grinwell was correct, that they could actually, you know, take their show on the road, if you will.
Exactly.
And then the day after that, a farmer gives them a ride out of the village. Mm-hmm. So they just kind of follow that pattern until they arrive at the town of Forking. Anything else stand out to you in this chapter?
No. I think Matt was getting really used to the cush life, shall we call it?
Right.
Like, to him, it was really cushy after, like, hiding in, you know, barns or, like, under haystacks and whatnot. So he was like, yeah, I want a bed. I want a hot meal. You know.
I can just imagine how awful that would be to just, I mean, and it's cold and it's rainy and it's just.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would suck. I would not survive very well, so.
But I think it's also helping Matt's confidence in himself. But, like, as they go along, though, they're also noticing that the fears and tensions in the villages are also getting more and more pronounced.
Right. Like, everything in the world, or in their world anyway, just seems to be progressively getting a little bit worse.
Exactly.
So, I agree. Cool. Chapter 32, titled Four Kings in Shadow. By the way, before we move on, I should have mentioned, we have now had 9 downloads, so I think we're one of the most popular things on the internet. We're right up there with Joe Rogan. So, 9 downloads. Still haven't gotten any reviews, so anybody listening, if you're going to download us, review us. Give us 1 star if you want to. I just want some reviews. I want to be able to read that somebody had an opinion on what we're doing. So, all right, chapter 32. Yes, I do. I want feedback, and not that it's necessarily going to change me, because I am who I am. But I would like to know that, you know,
I am who I am.
If you take the time to listen and you take the time to download, then the least you can do is take the time to let us know who you are and why you did it. So, and why maybe you didn't download the next one, or you decided that you're going to be lifelong listeners to this wonderful program. All right, chapter 32, Four Kings in Shadow. So Rand and Matt arrive in Four Kings, the town. Again, they arrive at dusk, like they have on in some of the previous ones. But
yeah.
But they just kind of feel like something's off in this village. They don't necessarily trust this village. And it just seems, overall, it just seems rougher than what they've encountered up to this point. Like, and it does seem like it's almost following a pattern. Like, each village seems worse than the village, the previous one they went to. So
I kind of almost had in my mind, like, even though it's kind of set medievalish times in a sense, but I almost thought of it as like those rough towns in like the Old West out here.
Right.
You know, where it was like, it was a lawless town. It was just a trade post, but it was like lawless, and like people were just like passing through. There was nothing with roots, and it's like, it was just hookers and blow, basically.
Right.
You know,
I kind of get the feeling that the way, okay, so we're in Andor right now as a nation. I don't know if we've really gotten into talking about that, but there are a handful of nations. I think there's 7 of them, if I remember right, 7 major nations in this world. And Andor is one of them, one of the biggest ones. I get the feeling that you have Camelin, which is the main town in Andor, the main city. It's where the palace is, where the queen lives.
Wouldn't you say that might be the capital?
The capital. There you go. That is a great word for the main town where all the... but it's just absolutely packed with people, you know? I mean, there. And then you have... Everything else is just these little towns that they don't really see any of the advantages that come to living in Andor. I mean, hell, the two rivers folk, they don't even realize they're part of Andor.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're just there. They're like, oh, yeah, we're... Really? Well, we haven't seen any Queen's Guards out our way, or any help, any anything. We don't pay taxes to Andor, so it's kind of weird.
I was just about to say, like, it seems like that they don't even pay taxes.
Right.
It seems really weird.
Right.
If you're in a, that, you know, he didn't know, maybe it was, you know, Master Valdor, you know, maybe he knew all that stuff.
Right. Right. maybe their innkeeper, Egwene's dad, knew all that, but.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he did. I guarantee. I know Tam, Rand's dad, did. He knows they're part of Andor. He's been out of the Two Rivers. Right. Not many people have. So.
But the thing is, I mean, I think it's pretty presumptuous of you to have said that they didn't pay taxes. Maybe he didn't know that they didn't pay taxes, but they would have had to if they're part of a realm.
I think I've just been put in my place. All right. So we're going to strike that last comment from the record. All right. So they're searching ends in this Four Kings, and they end up at the Dancing Cartman. What a great name for an inn. Where the innkeeper is skeptical, but agrees to let them sleep and eat there so long as they perform all night. Which they do. The common room's full. But Rand notices that the innkeeper keeps looking at his sword and at his flute. And he tells Matt, you know, he's like, hey, I think they're going to try to rob us. So
I would say that would be a good guess.
Yes. And it does sound like this whole town, if this is the best inn they could find, that doesn't say a lot for Four Kings. So
no, it doesn't.
But they also notice there's a strange man dressed in velvet in there, and he seems to be giving them an evil look as well. So
yep.
So they take a break to eat, and when they're in the kitchen, they overhear the cooks talking, and the cooks are talking about the man in velvet. His name is Howell Goad. He's from Whitebridge, which is where they ran into the fade with Tom. And they talk about him. And as they're talking about him, the innkeeper comes back in and tells them they have to get back out there and continue performing. So he's a quite the slave driver there. So
I don't trust him. He was not a nice guy. Plus, he's a skinny innkeeper. And how can you trust a skinny innkeeper?
It's funny that you bring that up, because that will come up again and again. So
Rand said, he's like, I didn't even know that they made skinny innkeepers.
I got into an argument many years ago with my little brother who moved to Louisiana about, because he went to culinary school for cooking.
Uh-huh. Right.
And he was always real skinny. And I said, you can't trust a skinny cook. And he got all mad. because, I mean, that's him. And it's like, dude, it's just a saying. It's okay. I trust you. You're my brother. All right. So they get back out there. They finish their shift, if you will. And when they're all done, the innkeeper shows them to their room, which is, you know, probably the finest room in that entire inn. I feel like they're almost put in a jail cell. I mean,
well, you know, he was not feeling, you know, comfortable about it. Plus, the thing that you also passed over and missed, which I think is also kind of important, was when they were eating, he went outside to see who that guy was. And that's when he found out that that was the same carriage that came up to the dock.
Right. I should have brought that up. You're absolutely right.
You know, so he was also, you know, because that guy was also staring at them too. What was his name?
Howell Goad.
Howell Goad. He was also staring at them too, and it freaked him out. And he's like, we got, you know, got to get out of here. Not just because of the innkeeper and his goons, but also because of that other guy.
Right. They realize that this guy must be there for them.
He thinks that he's a dark friend.
Right. So they get into their little prison cell of a bedroom here, and they lock the door. They put the bar down to truly lock the door, and they look at the window and realize that it's barred as well. So that's why I said it's almost like a jail cell. Like there's,
didn't they put like wedges underneath the door because they couldn't lock the door? There was nothing to lock the door, so they put stuff underneath it to wedge it, and they did it during the thunderstorm.
Right.
So because one of the goons was hanging out at the end of the I guess corridor waiting for them to fall asleep.
Right. Needless to say, they go to sleep and they're not
yeah.
overly comfortable with their situation at this point.
I don't think that they went to sleep. I'm sorry, I'm being like really combative today.
You're being good. This is what I want. I want participation from you.
Because they did not go to sleep. They were trying to escape.
Right.
They were trying to open up the bars and stuff like that, and then all of a sudden the door started being pushed and they're like, what the heck?
Yeah, and he screams at him, telling them they need to submit themselves to the Dark One. So they're obviously right about him being a dark friend. Mm-hmm. I love how, especially in this first book, how what would you call that? I mean, just the dark friends are so dark friendishy. You know, I mean, just like there's no subtlety to them. I mean, they are, if they're dark friends, they are dark friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they're definitely not subtle. Subtlety is not one of their trade points.
Absolutely. So out of nowhere, lightning strikes the room, and it creates a hole in the wall that they can escape out of, and Goad's men that are on the outside of that wall didn't fare so well. They died.
Yep.
And Matt is blinded by the light. I knew that. I knew if I put it that way, that's exactly the reaction I would get. That's great. So, what are your thoughts on this random lightning strike?
Because, like, getting out of there, I think, and he wasn't really hurt. It somehow came from him. He tapped into something.
Okay. I like it. I like it.
I think he tapped into something. But the other thing that I thought was also really, really important to note, because I've been really tracking when they get the dreams, he hadn't had any dreams up until now since they escaped Whitebridge.
Right. It had been a long time since he'd had one of his Beelzebub dreams.
He still hasn't had a dream yet.
No, he hasn't.
Because he hasn't slept.
But, you know, I feel like before today is done, he'll probably have himself a nightmare or two.
Yeah, I think so too. But I mean, you know, because of how I had said before, I was like trying to figure out what was triggering the dreams. And I think I was right. I think it's when the Dark One gets a pinpoint on him. That's how he's able to give him those dreams. If he doesn't know where they are, he can't send those dreams to him.
So what do you think of those dreams? Are they just dreams, or is there more to it?
I definitely think that there's more to it. There are some things where it breaks through with reality, and there is some realism to it. When we go on to some of the other chapters and what, like, some of the nightmares that he has, not all of it comes to fruition, but
right.
made to terrorize and to try and get him to submit.
Yeah, it's almost like the point of the dream is to just make make him go insane, you know, just to make him lose his mind.
Yeah, to be like, okay, I'm done. I'll do what you say. I give up mercy.
Right. I like it. I like it. Anything else on chapter 32?
Just that, you know, no one was, you know, following. They were kind of afraid. But I'm like, if the guys outside were killed, and one, you know, made me think that probably Goat might have been killed too.
Maybe. Maybe. He does make another appearance.
Right.
But it's in a dream. So it seems to me that that's probably accurate. I think he probably died. He wasn't the most healthy looking fellow in that dream coming up. So.
Right. Right. But like, you know, they were able to get out of there, you know, and the only reason why I think that it might have like came from Matt or Rand is because Matt was saying that he couldn't see.
Right.
So if it came from Matt Dagger, why would he be affected? That's why I was thinking.
Yeah, why it was, yeah. Rand seems to have come out of it better than Matt did. So yeah, it makes sense exactly. That it would have originated from Rand.
Yeah.
I agree.
So that's my only thing.
For the most part, you probably don't call lightning on yourself.
No.
You'll make it avoid you. So, although he didn't necessarily call it. I mean, he doesn't know what he's doing if he did.
No. He's just like, they needed to escape. I mean, like, he's like, how do we get out of here? How, you know.
Right.
We need to get out of here.
Have we brought up Taviren yet? Okay. I'll leave that alone. We will get there. Again, like I told you before we started, I've been listening to the second book, and I get timelines mixed up sometimes, so.
Well, maybe you shouldn't.
I know, right? But it's so good. The second book, I think you're going to love the second book. So, chapter 33, The Dark Waits. So, Rand and Mac, after they escape their little prison, if you will, they get a ride with a farmer named Chaim Kinch. And Matt tells Rand that his eyes are getting better, and Rand appears to be recovering from the sickness that... You know, Rand got sick, so he seems to be getting a little better as well. Mm-hmm. Chaim drops him off a couple of days out from Camelin, and they spend the night mm-hmm. sleeping in some bushes in the cold rain. So that's got to be good. That just sounds right. Awful. So.
Oh, yeah.
So Rand's sickness, what do you think of that? Because it's not the first time he's had a random sickness. Is it just a cold or the flu or something like that, or is there more to it?
Well, right now they're traveling,
putting it down almost to stress, if you will.
Stress, yeah, and traveling and always looking over his shoulder and stuff like that. And it's not like he's sick. It's just like he's got a bad cold, flu kind of
right.
thing. Like he's drained. It's just, he's drained.
Yes, he could use a big city and a inn to sleep in for a week or two and yeah. recover.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So Rand has a dream, and we talked about this earlier. So he has one of his nightmares, first in a long time. Right. And in this dream, he's back at the Dancing Cartman, and Goat is there, all burned and charred and nasty looking.
Yep.
Biazelmon appears and dismisses Goad and tells Rand again that the Eye of the World will never serve him. And then he shoots a ball of flame towards his face.
Right.
Seems kind of rude.
Yeah. And didn't he scream, my eyes, my eyes.
Right.
And that's why I was saying, like, it didn't seem like he gets hurt. It's just more to, like, scare him and terrorize him.
Right. And he's doing a good job of that. So... That Biazelmon, I swear, that guy is a... I swear, he's like the devil. All right. Sorry. So Rand wakes up in a, you know, with a start from his dream and notices that Matt seems to be having a nightmare as well. So we can kind of assume, based on the dreams we had earlier, the dreams, that Matt was probably having a very similar dream to what Rand was having. So
yeah.
They start walking again at dawn, and they kind of go around that next village, and then they catch a ride with a farmer named Albert Mole. I love the names of these farmers and towns and inns.
Yeah.
So, and he gives them woolen scarves when they depart, which I think is pretty cool. So they're kind of showing both with Chaim Kinch and Albert Mole that there are good people out there too.
Yeah.
You know, they're not.
Kinch also said that he knew it looked like that they were running away, but it looked like they were good boys too.
Right. Like, and what? I don't know what you've gotten yourself into, but yeah, absolutely. So, and that's almost a theme of this chapter, is that, like, people can tell that they're on the run, they're in some trouble, but they don't necessarily think they're bad kids that just got into something, you know?
Yeah, and the same thing with Albert Mole. He's like, you know, the times the way they are, you do look like, you know, nice enough kids. I can't risk it, but here are these, you know, up from my sons, they have plenty. You look like you need them.
Pretty cool. I like it. So they arrive at the next village at dusk, and they pay for a room and meal at the only inn in that village. Kind of sounds like Two Rivers, you know? I mean, one inn.
Yeah.
And then at breakfast the next morning, they're confronted by a dark friend named Pater. Again, so obviously dark friendy. Matt calls him out. And he yells at him that the shadow will swallow them, and then he flees. And then Matt and Rand leave the inn as well, and that's where our chapter... No, I guess that isn't the end of our chapter. I'm a liar. So again, they run into another dark friend. They seem to be running into dark friends in almost every town they go to.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on why?
Well, because now they have a general direction of where they are, so I think
By Alzamon.
Like, and his hounds are kind of focused. They're like, oh, so they're going to Camelot.
Okay.
We know where they're going to. So there's a lot more of his minions around to help find them.
And they don't exactly have 35 different roads to choose from. I mean, it seems to me that you have the Camelot Road and that leads to Camelot. That seems to be what it is. So cool. All right, so the next day they get rides all day, and they arrive at another village. Rand's illness seems to take a turn for the worse, and they end up staying in a stable at the inn, which I think it's hilarious how Matt got him the stable. It's like, well, I'm going to bring him in, and look how sick he is, and what's that going to do to your business?
Exactly.
It's like, good for you, Matt. Way to look out for your buddy.
Well, the one thing I thought was funny that you kind of like skipped over before was like when Matt couldn't see and he asked Rand, he goes, would you leave me if I couldn't keep up? And Matt's like, Rand was like, no, never. I wouldn't leave you. You're my friend. You know, I'll take care of you. And that reinforced Matt. And that's why Matt's, I think, you know, because if Rand had said, well, you know, if you slow me down too much, I'd have to leave you. I think Rand would have been like, I'm out of here, gone.
Right.
You know?
And I think it really reinforces the friendship that is there throughout, not just this book, but actually throughout the whole story. Like, even in the negative times, the friends are there for each other.
Yeah, and taking care. And like, where Matt stayed up all night, which is like, you don't think of Matt being Matt doing that.
Right. You know, like, because he's the joker, the... prankster, exactly. If you will. So
exactly. Oh, I know what I wanted to point out from before. Oh. And I know it goes back to the previous chapter when they were playing reception supper. The one thing was when they were cleaning out the barn and stuff like that, and that girl was checking out
Elsie.
And Rand wished that he was Perrin because Perrin could talk to the girls.
Yes, we do that again. I love it. And they do that. That's not the last time you're going to have that happen.
But it was just funny because, like, just like the guys and just how we were talking about the friends, that just reminded me of that. And I'm sorry that we went back to that one.
No, I like it. I love that pull out because, yes, you get the idea that Matt in the Two Rivers, you had Matt Perrin and Rand. And then you had a lot of other kids, you know, and they were friends with lots of other ones. But they were, like, the main friends. Like, they were all each other's best friends. So,
and they, those are the ones that keep popping up in each other's heads, being like, I wish he was here. He'd know how to take care of it.
Right.
But the same thing goes is, on the other side, when you're in their story, they're like, oh, I wish he was here because he knows how to deal with it.
Right. Everybody else is great with girls except for the one whose mind we're in. So
yeah, exactly, I
do think that's great. So and what's funny is seems like Rand was the only one who was at all good with girls since he had Egwene as a girlfriend, right? You never hear about Perrin's girlfriend or Matt's girlfriend.
Well, did Matt even have a girlfriend?
That's my point, though. I mean,
Matt used to like looking at how Egwene would make Rand like stumble for words, and he would giggle about it. And they weren't even really boyfriend-girlfriend. I mean, I don't even think.
No, they were just kind of promised to each other type thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, I mean, they were going to get married, you have to assume. So that kind of makes them boyfriend-girlfriend. So, in fact, way back at the beginning there, it's, you know, Tam was like, I'm sure you're looking forward to seeing Egwene. And it seems like Rand's like, oh, God, no, I'm really not. You know, I mean, like, she makes me so uncomfortable. So,
right.
So, Rand wakes up from his nightmares. He has nightmares and fever dreams all that night.
Right.
Good times. That's how I felt on my birthday weekend. So, but it wasn't by Alzheimer's in him. So, Rand wakes up when a woman enters the stables and she asks him if he's sick. And then out of nowhere, she kind of lunges at Matt. And her dagger gets stuck in the post behind Matt, and the wood kind of smokes. Like, it, there's obviously there's something on the dagger, or there's something about her dagger. You know, I mean, it's not a normal dagger.
Yeah.
So. Go ahead.
She went after her.
See, I thought she went after Matt. Let's let me pull up the book, and we will see. I may have misdone that.
Because I might have also, you know.
What was her name? Millie, right? Millie Skane, I think, or something like that.
Millie Skane, yeah. No, you were right. She lunged across, ran towards Matt.
You found it before I could. Yep. Okay. I like being right, so that's what I like to hear.
You're right.
You're right. I'm wrong.
Doesn't happen that often, Andy. I'll let you, you know, I'll let you take the win.
It's almost like I have read this before. Is that, does she spell her name funny? What chapter are we on? 30-something? 33?
33, the Dark
Weeds. Sorry, I'm messing around. I don't even need to be doing it since you already told me I was right. But I have a digital version of the book up, and I'm trying to find our spot in it, and I can't seem to spell Millie right. So she must spell her name weird. All right, I'm back.
It's M-I-L-I.
Okay, that's why I was going M-I-L-L. My grandma, my mom's mom, her name is Millie, but not M-I-L-I. All right, so you have the smoking dagger, and Rand convinces Matt not to kill her, which kind of shows that, once again, that a couple of things, I think. I think our... Two Rivers folk are still kind of naive, and they're good kids. You know, I mean, they're not letting their hardship make them bad kids. So
yeah, but the thing is, I mean, Matt wanted to kill her because she tried to kill him, but Rand still is like, but we're not dark
friends. Right.
That's the difference between us and the dark friends.
Right. Yeah. So, but Matt wanted to, but he still didn't. They locked her up in the stables and they left town. So they hitch another ride with Master Kench, and that kind of ends the chapter.
Yeah.
Anything else on chapter 33 you'd like to discuss?
I think, no, this is not the second. This is what confused me about Kench. I thought that they met Kench at the end.
Oh, was he not at the beginning? I may be wrong on that.
But the thing is he is Chaim Kench, but who was the other guy that gave him a ride? Was he also maybe another Kench?
No, I think I may have... No. Oh, well?
No, because there were two really nice people, and I thought he was Kinch as well.
All right. This was chapter 33. Towards the beginning of chapter 33, right? The first guy who gave him the very beginning of chapter 33.
Yeah, because that's where he was the same guy, and then he left them off. So is that like... That's what confused me. I was really like...
It is a Kinch. Maybe they're not the same person. Maybe they're just related. Maybe... But why would he introduce himself at the end of this chapter if he... So maybe that was just a mistake on Robert Jordan's part. Could have been. He could have meant to name the first guy something else. Because it does seem like they're meeting them for the first time at the end of the chapter, even though...
It was also weird, though, because... He was saying, you know, how they had the scarf because Matt touched the scarf around his head because they didn't get the scarf until Albert Mull.
Right.
See what I'm saying? That it seemed like there's a little bit of like forward backwardness here.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
And that's.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you got disconnected. I apologize.
No. But see, that's confused.
Well, lucky for us, Master Kinch doesn't play a pivotal role in the series necessarily. He's just a good guy, but
yeah. Because this is where Matt's legs were wobbling and he felt unsteady, you know.
Yeah, Matt's not, neither one of them's in a good place physically, you know, or necessarily.
He's saying whatever the sickness is he's getting over, that, you know, he could stay at their place. That's why I was like...
Right.
And the next village was supposed to be Carysport.
Yep, that's where we're headed.
Is that the next village that they hit? So did they do a little frontsy-backsies play with time?
If they do, they don't really make it obvious. Like, they don't point it out. I don't know. That's a good question.
Because that's the one thing, it to me, that made no sense.
Give me one second.
It was a different Kinch. There were two Mass Hyman Kinches.
That's just weird. I think this section has slightly weird chronology, and you find out about Rand's. Huh.
Because they get to Carrie's Hoard longer than Rand had thought it would take, from what Master Kinch said when he let them down.
I'm on Reddit reading people talking about this exact area that you're talking about. And it says this one person named Skaz100 says it's a poorly told double flashback, basically.
Okay.
So that makes sense. It is the same guy, but there is a little bit of a flashback. We just don't really bring up the fact that the flashback was happening. So.
Okay, because that's what I was wondering, but it was weird because you never have a demarcation with it. Okay.
So. Right, exactly. It may have been a case of shitty writing, but Robert Jordan doesn't seem to do things like this without a reason.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And he brings up a good point, actually, that the entire series, not just this book or this part of this book, but the entire series is told in unreliable third person. So just because somebody says this is the way it happened doesn't necessarily mean it's actually the way it happened at any point in this series. You know, I mean, just because somebody said it doesn't mean it's true.
So you mean we have to, like, doubt everything?
I would say yes, I would doubt some things.
Great.
I mean, hell, Rand's probably not even a real person. All right. All right, chapter 34, titled The Last Village. That's not ominous in any way whatsoever. So, Rand and Matt, they approached this next village, which you already brought up was named Carysford, named after the River Carry that flows right beside it. They pass through the village, they sleep in a random haystack, and when they start back up the next day, the road's just filled with people traveling, and they're all... They're all headed to Camelin to see the false dragon Loghain. So
everybody's going to see Loghain.
And we've had Loghain come up a little bit earlier. The peddler brought up Loghain, right? When they asked
everybody's about bringing up Loghain.
Right. So seems like a big deal. Guy can channel. Watch out. So
oh, yeah.
So they pass through a couple more villages, and then at their third village they come to, they overheard a conversation between an innkeeper and a fade. Kind of creepy, like the fade's obviously looking for them, the innkeeper's on his side, or is taking his money, if you will. I mean, he's like, yeah, if I see him, I'll definitely let you know. And
yeah, but he seems also, I think a lot of people are afraid of the fae. I mean, like, is he really helping the fae out of the good?
That's true. I feel like this innkeeper, though, or this guy is...
He's a bit of a dark friend.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he has that much goodness in his heart.
He has dark friend tendencies.
Yes.
Skinny, I can't remember.
He may not be Pater, but he definitely feels like he's got some dark friend in him.
But was he skinny? I can't remember.
I don't know if they bring that up. Our driver of the wagon we're on doesn't trust him, though.
Yeah, he thinks that he's like, well, that makes no sense.
Right. Like your buddy over there doesn't seem like the most reliable person.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to remember, and I think Lan mentioned it way back at the beginning of our book here, that the eyes of a Murdral are fear or something along those lines. Like that's how Murdrals, one reason why they're so hard to fight is because you look in their eyes and you're just afraid. That's what they do.
Yeah, well, that's what happened when they came up to Rand.
Right.
He almost peed his pants.
If peeing your pants is cool. All right.
You know, Andy, TMI.
House Davis?
Just say.
And you're probably right. We're going to have to edit that part out. I'm not going to, in all likelihood. I don't edit that much out. If it was a four-hour-long episode, I would probably edit more out. But, you know. Let's have some fun, but not by peeing our pants. That's the plural for pants.
Pair of pants, two pair of pants. Idiot.
We're not talking about mooses here, okay? Meese. All right. Here, it's excellent.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to help you. You did it. You killed the person.
That's great.
It was really funny. It was a thug.
That's funny. Yeah, I need to check that show out, although I don't have Hulu anymore, but I think I have a buddy who I can steal his account information. For it.
But it was on BBC America, or BBC, like the original BBC, so you might be able to see if you can get it through BBC streaming or something like that.
Well, plus, I do have DirecTV, so I might be able to, maybe it's on there on demand, too. I don't know. That's probably for a later time, probably not for recording of podcast time, but maybe. No. If you guys can just wait for an hour, I'm going to watch an episode of Mr. Cumberbatch's show, and we'll go from there. You can react to my reactions that you can't see. All right. So they catch a ride with a farmer named Bunt, and he kind of gives him a overview of Camelin and the ruling class of Camelin. Really, the only point of Bunt being there is to kind of give us a little bit of history, if you will, or a little bit of, I guess it's not really history, it's what's going on right now. But so he brings up Queen Morghese of Andor, and he brings up the fact that she has an Aes Sedai advisor named Elida. You have any thoughts on that? The fact that she has an Aes Sedai that's kind of her own?
Yeah, well, if Morghese isn't there, maybe we can find Elida and maybe she can help us.
Right. So Rand is at the feeling, at least right now, at the feeling of we need Aes Sedai help, and Aes Sedai are generally good. So I will, if I need to, I can find this Elida and she'll help us out. So
right, exactly.
She must be just like Moraine.
Right. Yeah.
And then he also brings up her daughter and son named Elaine and Gawain.
Yeah.
Gawain is an obvious Arthurian name there, by the way. That's straight from the Arthur stories. So,
yeah.
Wasn't there a Gawain in Arthur, one of his knights? Pretty sure there was, but I don't know. It's been a long time since I've read those books. Yeah, Guinevere was, Gawain was a male man, though.
Oh.
He was a knight, I think.
Oh, I can't remember. I can't remember all the knights, but yeah, no, it definitely, you're seeing the...
Yes, when he wrote this originally, that's the direction that he wanted it to go. kind of broke away from that as we get further in the story. But I think to a degree, especially the middle books, which in this series are called the slog. That's what the fans call them. I think he was just making more money.
Is there a lot of walking in that?
No, there's a lot of political intrigue without moving the story forward for about 3 books, a book and a half, 2 books at least. So there are a couple of books as you get towards, I think that's 8 and 9 or 9 and 10 that are kind of hard to read just because nothing happens. And then Robert Jordan died and Brandon Sanderson finished the series, and I think he finished it great. He picked up from everything that Jordan had laid down and wrote the final book, which ended up being the final 3 books. So, but yeah, we'll get there in a few years. So, oh, now I have to look at this though, because I was on the internet. So are you going to name my 12 knights? Are you not? I mean, this was titled The 12 Knights of the Round Table. Lancelot Gawain. Yeah, G-A-W-A-I-N was the nephew of King Arthur. Interesting. Okay, I'm back. All right. So we're told a little bit about the family. And then he tells them about Luke, who was the brother of the previous queen, Tigraine. And he went off to the Blight and got killed. And Tigraine disappeared as well. So then her husband, who was Tarengale from, Tarengale de Mondred. So he's from, Carheim. He married Morgaith, which kind of brings those two countries together. And he had Elaine and Gawain. Those were his two kids through her. And then he had a son already when they got married named Galad, which I don't know if we've actually brought that up yet, but he'll show up at some point in the story, I'm sure. So he helped Morgaith get to the throne and then gave her a couple of kids and then decided it was time to die. So he dies off. Do you recognize that last name at all? De Mondred? Before I make a fool of myself, give me 1 second.
Jill.
Not quite the same, but yeah, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't making a fool of myself. That's Moraine's last name. So yes, she comes. So we may not have brought that up yet. So there's a teaser for you. I apologize.
No, but, I think that they did. So the king has the same last name. Hold on. Who has the same last name as Moraine?
His dead husband. Who was Tigraine? Tigraine was the queen. He was the king of he was in the ruling family of Carheim. Carheim.
For this, I think I definitely need a like. But I also thought it was really strange that Morgaith and Morgaine are really similar.
Yes, yes, they are. So essentially, what happened here was. Have we talked at all about the Aiel War? We haven't gotten into that yet. Then I won't bring it up yet. But when we talk about the Aiel War, which happened in the past, not in the it's coming up in the story, but it's flashbacks. We'll kind of go through family lines and things like that at that point when we bring that up. So I don't want to get too into that now because.
Moraine somehow related to.
But yes, Moraine is from the ruling family of Carheim. So.
Okay.
But she has no interest in that kind of power. That's not. I mean, she probably could have become queen of Carheim if she wanted to, you know, and become the first Aes Sedai queen in a long, long time. But that's not where her interests are. So.
Yeah.
Depending on who's talking about her, she's either a really, really good person or she's a really manipulative person. So, but that's Aes Sedai. They're secretive and kind of off on their own island. So, all right. So Rand fell asleep, had more nightmares. And when he wakes up, Bunt tells him that they're in Camelot. So it's kind of a easy way for the story to skip the rest of their trip to Camelot. You fell asleep. We don't have to talk about any other towns you might have come across. So.
Well, they knew that it was going to be there the next day.
Right.
You know, they knew from that. But I also thought it was really interesting when the, you know, the innkeeper or whatever was talking to Blunt about, like, all the stories that were surrounding Rand and Matt and, like, how they were the instigators. And they look really innocent, but they're not. And, like, he stole that, you know, the sword and, like, giving, like, very specific things to, like, find them by.
Right.
You know, and that also kind of spurred Rand being like, listen, we need to get to Caelan because we need to be able to blend in. If there's a lot more people there, we'll blend in. Plus, we know the Fade's not there. Because the Fade's here, he's going to find us tonight.
Right, which makes sense. I mean, Caelan is, like we talked about earlier, that it's the capital city of the possibly the biggest country in this world. So you're going to have, I mean, think New York City, you know, or Los Angeles. I mean, it's not super easy to find a random person in a city like that. So, yes, I agree.
Exactly.
I think you're really going to enjoy next week's reading, by the way.
You think so?
Well, you get to finally learn, or you get to finally see Caelan. It's been brought up over and over and over again, and you finally get to see, I believe, next week, or during this week when you're reading, you're finally going to be able to see Caelan. So,
yay!
Anything else on chapter 34?
Be interesting to figure out all the names of the people that were so good to them and, like, the people that are following them. Like, almost, like, map it out and, like, see if there's any. But that's a little bit too much.
That's a second read, I think. Maybe not a first read, so.
No, I'm enjoying it and, like.
I do like, though, it seems like so often in stories like this that people like that and the people that give rides, if you will, to our characters and things like that, it seems like they're usually not named. You know, they're just, then he caught a ride with a farmer.
Right.
You know, and I think it's interesting that when Robert Jordan was writing this, he actually went through the trouble of giving them each a name. Like, he's making them actual characters instead of just archetypes, if you will.
But these are the ones that are actually passing on useful information.
True.
Like, the other people, like, the side stories, when it's like, they don't add anything to the personal touch. Like, okay, this farmer was mean, you know, that really doesn't add to the story. But if you have, like, the farmer, you know, Master Grinwell and his wife, they make an impression. Because they're like, hey, listen, you're good with this. You can make money and not have to worry about, like, going from farm to farm to farm. You could go to an inn, get a meal, you know, and then the farmer and the people that are giving them the rides helpful and giving them the background and the information have all been helpful in piecing things
true
together. So of course
true
they would get names. If they're not doing anything to move the story along, why would you give them a name?
Right.
Then you just have to come up with another name, and then you have to remember, did I use that name before?
Oh, wait till we're done. There's like 3,500 named characters in these books, so it's insane. I have a book called The Wheel of Time Companion, I think. It's about 700 or 800 pages long, maybe a little bit more, and it's just a little blurb about every character. Named character. No, I mean, there are some of them, like Rand and Perrin, Moraine, you know, they have a couple of pages because they did a whole lot more, but every named character in the series is in that book. So it's insane. So, all right, final thoughts on chapter 34.
I'm wondering in Caelan, like,
seeing what
that's such a big city. That's going to be such a big city. And, like, how are they going to, like, kind of track them? And, like, you know, I really do feel that's going to be, like, the center point where they're going to meet up again.
Right.
Like you said, it's the biggest city, but how are they going to do it?
And they seem to have gotten there before any of the other characters have gotten there, by a decent amount, almost, you know? I mean, at this point in the story... Yeah, at this point in the story, it seems that Egwene and Perrin are still... Well, maybe not. Who knows? I mean, maybe when we get back into the Perrin and Egwene's, it'll be a flashback a few days to their stories.
And the thing is they're traveling along with, you know, people going to be taken in carriages or chained up and being taken by horse and carriage. It's not like they have to sneak around and skulk around from town to town,
right,
to town to town to town. Whereas, you know, I think that Rand and Matt, it's been taking them a lot longer, because you have to think, like, it even took them a couple of days from leaving Whitebridge, you know, and then even between, you know, when they met up with Master Grinwald, like how long that took. And then with that, between Master Grinwald and then the Four Kings, that was also several days.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like just day after day after day. So, like, they're probably been doing this for, like,
at least a few weeks. 2 weeks. Right, yeah, exactly.
So the thing is that's why I'm thinking that it probably the others aren't that far behind. Because it's not like this took them 4 days.
Right, right. So you're thinking, well, let's find out what you're thinking. Do you have any predictions for us this week, Wendy?
Well, I'm thinking something's going to happen. There's going to be some sort of catalyst that at least brings two of the groups together.
So we have three groups right now. We have you have Perrin and Egwene, and the White Cloaks. You have Moraine and Nynaeve and Lan, and then you have Matt and Rand. So you think some event is going to bring those groups together?
I think something's going to happen to at least bring two of the groups together.
So as our two...
At least two, if to, you know, or at least they'll find out that what's going on with Perrin and...
Egwene.
So then they'll be like, oh my God, we saw her. Now we have to figure out how to get them.
Okay.
Like, either they'll see them or something like that. Or, you know, but something's going to happen, that there is going to be a crossing of the paths, I think.
And you do think that'll probably be here in Camelon?
Thinking so.
Well, it would make sense, because the last major city that we were at would have been Shadar Logoth, which is where they got separated.
Right.
So then they get to their next major city, and then they're brought back together again.
Yeah, or
sure.
And the thing is maybe they won't stay together, but maybe they'll get directions on where to go elsewhere. You know, like they might not stay together, because like maybe if two of the three groups get together, say they meet up with Moraine or something like that, she might say, okay, now that we're here, now that we know what's going on, you need to go here, meaning like that, like there's going to be some kind of connection, and, you know, whether they stay together or she gives them other directions and then she goes to find the other group.
Remember too, when the Fade showed up and Tom fought it off or distracted it or sacrificed himself, however you want to look at that. He gave them specific directions in Camelon too. He said, go find this inn. And so they do seem to have a place in Camelon too that they can, you know, they're not just going to be lost in the city necessarily. Right. There seems to be an inn at Camelon.
That's Camelon. That time told them the inn in Camelon to go to.
Yeah, it was the Queen's Blessing, I think is the name of the inn he suggested. So.
Yeah. So.
Do you disagree, bud? Zero disagrees.
She's going to be coming to Camelon. Maybe she's going to be the one there. Chess pieces.
Perfect. I like it. Any other predictions for this week?
I'm just hoping that they can get Perrin and Egwene.
Damn White Cloaks.
The damn White Cloaks.
The Children of the Light. Stupid religious fanatics.
I know.
Makes me think of Game of Thrones. They had a group like that in there, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Although I like this series a lot more than Game of Thrones, but that may be mostly because this one finished. Whereas Game of Thrones will never. No, not the books.
They're still going on.
Oh, he wrote his fourth book, fourth or fifth, like 20 years ago, and he still hasn't put out the next one. So
you got to be kidding me.
No, he says he's like 1,900 pages into writing it, but. But yeah, he's moved on to other stuff too, so I don't think he's ever going to get it done.
Like, yep. Why start a series if you're not going to finish it?
Well, he kind of ruined it too, because the HBO series did finish it. So now he's kind of stuck because he says, well, that's not how my series ends. It's like, well, how would you know? You haven't even finished it. Like, you haven't given us anything to read for years.
The HBO series ending, I didn't think was all that great either.
Well, whose fault is that? That's the writer of the book's fault because he didn't get the books done. They had to come up with their own finishes because he left them hanging.
A tease. A tease, I tell you.
Irritating. Come on, George R.R.R.R.R. Martin. Let's get it done. So, if you're listening to this, please give us a rating, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts listening, because I guess that matters more than the other podcasts, or Spotify. Spotify's a big one too. We are available on all those. If you're listening, you know that we're available because you're listening. Clearly, leave us a review, give us, I will read it on the air if you do, and you can be part of our podcast family. I should probably give a question. So I guess my question for this week will be, we went through several villages, named villages this week. I want your favorite village and your favorite villagers in that village and why they're your favorite from this week. So again, don't give us any give us any spoilers for stuff coming forward, because I won't read that because Wendy hasn't gotten that far and we don't want to ruin it for Wendy. That wouldn't be very, very nice.
No,
so, that's our question. I did want to have a writing challenge. We're getting a little too late for that. So we'll probably have to start the writing challenge when we have at least, 10 listeners instead of just 9. So if we can get to that magic number of 10, before the end of this first book, maybe we can have a writing challenge. But if you're listening, write me a chapter, write me a side story that goes along with book one, and you can be our automatic winner of book one's writing challenge, because you'll be the only one who did it. So that makes it hard to lose. But yes, the idea is to write a subplot, if you will, that is not in this first book, In the Eye of the World, but would fit alongside it. So maybe another town that that Rand and Matt visit, or a side story involves Egwene and Perrin and their travels with the White Cloaks, or something along those lines. You know what you're doing. I don't. That's why you have to do the writing, not me. So
I want to hear him talking about a knight in the digging down into the haystack.
Right, there you go. There's another one. or write something about the two rivers, if you will, if you want to go back to the beginning, life in the two rivers, and a day in the life of a two river is the end.
Rand and Matt are talking about those hours as they're just walking down the street, like the road to Camelot. They have to be talking about something.
Right.
In morose silence.
Although neither one of them's in the greatest of health during it, so maybe they are in mostly morose silence.
Yeah, but I could just see Matt being like, oh, what I want to do for this piece of pie.
God, I hate my life.
I hate my life. My feet are hurting. Can we stop now?
Two weeks, my ass. But I can't tell if you're actually coughing or if you're being Matt. But so, yes. You can send any of those reviews or any of your answers to our questions or your side story that I've just told you need to write. You can send all of that to adventuresinrandland@gmail.com. Outside of that, we don't have a whole lot of presence up yet. I do have I failed on that one, didn't I? Give me a second. I do have a Patreon.
I don't even know what you're trying to talk about.
I know. That's the worst part. So I do have a Patreon set up. There's nothing on there yet, so there's no point in you giving us money yet. But eventually I will have some side stuff up when I get around to doing it. My goal with the Patreon is, if nothing else, to go do deeper dives into what we're reading that involves spoilers. Since I can't talk about spoilers with Wendy, just kind of things that come up later in the series that are hinted at in this first book. But we'll see. Maybe I'll never get around to it because I'm lazy. I don't know. One of these days I'll have some content up on our Patreon. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. So sue me.
Okay.
But don't sue me. You're not going to get anything out of it anyways. All right. Next week, what is our reading for next week? I'm going to say it probably starts on chapter 35 since we ended on chapter 34 this week. The big brain on Andy.
I would certainly hope so.
So next week we are going to do chapters 35 through 40. So you get 6 chapters next week. They must be a little bit shorter, because what I did was I tried to make it so that each book was, or each section was roughly the same amount of pages. Not exactly, obviously, because I don't want to end in the middle of chapters or anything like that. But I did what, it wasn't necessarily, okay, we're doing this storyline. Although that would have been a cool way to split it up is, okay, now we're following these two. But there are times when that may have taken too long. So, but yeah, regardless, enough of me talking about nothing. We only have 3 more reading sessions and we'll be done with this first book. Yep. So yeah, next week is 35 to 40. And then the week following that is 41 to 46. And then 47 to 53 finishes this first book. So the pace really picks up moving forward.
You promise?
Well, it has to. If we're going to get to the end of a book, we have to be picking it up. Right now, we're still world building more than anything, you know, just getting an idea of what the world is like. So then we're going to make a mad dash to the finish. How do you think this book's going to finish, Wendy?
Just to annoy me.
Then probably. And he was thinking about you when he wrote it. So
I know. It's all about like irking me and putting it on a cliffhanger.
What's our cliffhanger? What's our final?
I think it's going to be getting all of them together again.
Okay, so you don't think there's going to be like a final battle or anything like that? You think it's just, here is these guys who got, they were together, they got separated, and then we're going to come together again to finish the book.
If the next, or we're going to figure out what the Eye of the World is.
There you go. I like that, because we have brought up the Eye of the World a few times. We brought it up today, in today's reading. Yes. The Eye of the World seems to be connected in some way to the Byazamon or to the Dark One, because it only seems to get mentioned when in their dreams, right? In their nightmares. So cool. Are we going to reach the Eye of the World in this book? All right.
Better idea.
Cool.
And then it's going to be setting it up to whatever it is that they need to do, whatever the quest is.
Okay, so you think the next book is when the quest really starts?
Well, I think we're going to get a better idea of what it is that they need to do.
Cool. I like it.
You know, because how many books are this in this series? There's
15, technically. 15. There's 14, and then there's a prequel as well. So,
yeah,
so which I have us reading the prequel last for 2 reasons. One, it's not that good. It's not bad. But it's basically, it's a short book compared to the rest of these. And it is the prequel, which is titled New Spring. It's basically Moraine as a young Moraine.
Oh.
So it's a story of Moraine meeting Lan. And there's some other things in there. But yeah, it's more or less what that prequel is it. So you don't get Rand or Matt or Perrin, obviously, or Egwene or any of these characters, because they're not even born yet. So,
well, that makes sense, because I have a feeling Moraine's probably older than she looks.
I said I tend to have that, and I think they live to be a lot older than normal people.
Yep. So I have a feeling.
Well, cool. I will see all 9 of you next week. Thank you for listening, and we will see you for starting chapter 35 next week, next Wednesday. I'm trying to, and I'm failing, but I'm trying to get them edited and posted by Wednesdays, and it tends to be Thursday night, I think, that I've been doing it. So I guess next Friday is when you'll be able to really listen to it, probably.
Get on the ball, Andy. Get on the ball.
Yeah, I'm not an on-the-ball kind of person, so... I don't know who would employ me. That's crazy. All right.
I know. I would give that person, you know, a nomination for sainthood.
At least for premature gray hairs, if nothing else. All right. Well, I will see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.